How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay.
That's good.
Yeah. This is the first one we've done where we both, I think, have to be up early to work the next morning.
I'm going to just move forward because my headphones are short.
Yeah. These last couple of weeks, we've been struggling with a headphone jack issue that forces us to not have enough slack, but we're making it work.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good too now.
So,
how was your day?
It was all right. I worked. Nothing overly eventful happened, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I had some extra time at the end of the day, so I stayed at the office and caught up on some mileage, which was good. So I'm notoriously terrible for handing in mileage late. I didn't hand it in, and I didn't actually calculate it. I just like wrote down all the destinations. So I think I've got 4 or 5, maybe 6 months of mileage to hand in.
You and I are similar when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just, you know, in November, I was like, this is silly. It takes 5 minutes for me to do this at the end of the day. And so for a couple of weeks, like at the end of my shift, I was doing it. That was in November, though. And it quickly petered off.
I have a very cute dog using my leg as a pillow right now.
You do indeed.
It's very nice.
She looks real old right now.
Well.
Gray.
She is.
I met two other, well, not met because I'd met them before, but two other little old graying dogs today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A little guy named Sammy, who's about 12, and an old pug named Rocky that lives in a house that is heavily smoked in, so you can imagine a pug
oh, geez.
In that environment.
The just snorty.
Oh, just like wheezy. And
I feel really bad to disturb Kia, but I feel like I'm going to really regret it when it comes to the editing if I don't go shut off that air purifier.
Oh, okay.
I can hear it humming in the background, and it's going to make our audio sound weird. One second. Okay. So we both got like some slightly sad news at work today. Not to like go into downer territory, but we're good at doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't elaborate or dwell on it, but like you had a client that you really liked who passed away, and I have a coworker that I really like who is in the ICU on a ventilator with COVID. So it's a little rough, and then we're just getting our heads in podcast mode.
You know, this is how we start out, right? It'll pick up towards the end. Although this is a sober one for me.
Tonight. Yeah,
I'm and likely you after so, just
sober too. I'm little drink, just poured myself know. One little drink right now. Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I won't really go too far into it, but it's, I feel like it could easily become a weekly thing because I re-listen to these things when editing them. That I will have the Chad feels like something he said came off weird, and I want to correct it.
Do you think I should listen to them in case, does that happen for me?
I wouldn't think so. And I feel like if there was something that I thought you would have a problem with, I would probably check in with you.
Okay.
But I don't think so. And it's nothing like where I'm like, oh, I said something like offensive or something like that, where it's just like, oh, I don't feel like I quite like made myself clear there and somebody could interpret that the wrong way or something.
Okay. What is it?
I just felt weird about when we were talking about sort of the New Year's resolutions, that especially after the kind of year that it was and all that's happened, that I would basically say that like my thing was like not caring what other people thought and just being like comfortable with myself, you know, and it just came off as a very selfish kind of answer after a year where it's like, you know, we should really be caring about others and stuff. And that was not really what I was getting at. But there's just, you know, when you're doing this sort of thing and talking into a microphone, there's a lot of other things going through your head, you know, like I was looking at the time and I'm like, okay, how much do I want to get into at this point and stuff. And I was more just saying like things we've discussed before, like things that kept me from volunteering and stuff, like of thinking, oh, I want to do this right because caring what other people thought about it and stuff. And I don't know. I think it just kind of came off as like a slightly asshole-ish statement or something.
I don't know.
Which is funny considering the concept of like not caring what people think, and now here I am. Like,
yeah, I think like knowing you, I know that's not how you. I don't think that it came off that way, but
I think I just felt weird about it. Where it's like there's probably like better looking answers I could have given that. There's like, you know, it's fine. I didn't have to do those things, but I'm just like, I feel self-conscious about it. Or I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not really that hung up on it, but
I feel a little self-conscious by it because by the end of that podcast, that tequila liquored me up pretty good.
So. You were fine. I think we were maybe both a little, maybe a touch slurry, but still lucid.
But moving on, what's on our agenda today?
Okay, so this is actually something I was thinking about this morning for some reason. Is there things you've done in your life, experiences you've had, that now that we have a child, that you think, you know, obviously we want her to follow whatever path she wants to take, but you're like, I really feel like I got a lot out of that, and I would love to see her have a similar experience?
Well, but I think I need a couple minutes to think about it. So if you want to go first.
Okay. Well, one thing I was thinking about, and again, it's like, I would never force her into this territory, but I do think it would be cool if at some point in her life, she decided she wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
I think I got a lot out of that. It gave me so many stories. Like, I think just so many of the wildest, funniest, weirdest memories and stuff I have are from that period. It allows you to meet a lot of interesting people. It can be a very humbling experience in a good way of like, you know, you could have one night where you're playing to a packed bar where everybody's loving it. And then, you know, 2 days later, you're playing to nobody at a laundromat in Saskatoon. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's similar to like sports in a lot of ways, and I think there's a lot of good stuff that can come from it. And you like kind of learn an interesting aspect of like peer relationships and learning to compromise and learning how to disagree and still care about one another. And it's just fun. I think back on that time with a lot of feeling. I was going to say a lot of fondness, but like, it's a mix of a lot of things. Like it's a heavy, weird part of my past, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I think like I would be fully supportive if she decided to do something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That could be neat.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it would be so fun for us to be able to go like see her do something like that.
Except if she like hated it and was like embarrassed that her parents were there.
I know. Oh, God. Which is like me.
You just like hide in the corner.
We just gotta keep being super fucking cool.
Charity looks at me sometimes being like, nice try.
I mean, she's cooler than either of us for sure. She's already
funnier than either of us. I think that an experience that I found very valuable is just being in a situation. There's so many variables, but like the baseline is that where nobody else knows you or knows the other people. You're all like meeting for the first time. There's no history. You're all there for a common reason, common interests. And being who you are genuinely with no pretext and is, to me, I found a very valuable.
And so in which situation?
Like me, you want me to tell you like my specific situation?
Yeah. I didn't know whether you were referring to like a specific time when this happened.
Yeah. So for me, it would have been when I went down to Mexico the very first time for the whale shark research trip. So I was down there for 2 weeks and there were five of us in total plus our like instructor that took us down there. And I was the only Canadian. The other four were American from different places, and you know, we were all in university, we all came from different backgrounds, and but had the common interest that we were down there to study whale sharks and explore the ecosystem out there. And it was just such a, I mean, that place, I could go on about how magical it is for so many reasons, but just that trip, like just being able to be the purest form of myself and having it be just like so easily and widely accepted by my peers, but also by the other people that lived out there and all the connections that were made. That was a really important trip for me. So I think that if she can have some sort of experience, likely travel related, because I think that's, you know, the best way I can think of to be there, right? Like you're somewhere meeting these people that have all these different backgrounds, but are there for, you know, a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And travelers, I tend to think that they have, you know, some typical mindsets. So yeah, it's just the acceptance of your true self.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, traveling in general is a cool thing to do, you know, to set off and be young and nervous and over your head and stuff. But like the fact that you went to, work, you know, like that you had a specific purpose going there, you know, like it's one thing to just travel and see the sights and like just explore. But to, you know, you were obviously with people who had a similar interest in wildlife. And yeah, I remember the lead up to all that. And there was a few other options of places you were going to maybe go to. And then wasn't there even a different one that you applied for or something like that, that had filled up or?
No, this was the only one that I applied for, but then they canceled it.
Oh, right. That's what it was.
Yeah. They canceled it because of like politics, I think, of bringing Canadian and American students down into Mexico and like the paperwork and all the logistics. And oh, and there was a travel ban. That's right. There was a travel ban into Mexico. Not where we were going, but just, I think the fact that there was, the organization was like, no, this is, we don't want that responsibility. So they canceled it. But which is again, like another way it worked in my favor, because there was going to be 15 of us, which got whittled down to 5, because the instructor was like, well, I'm going anyways, if you guys want to come.
But they no longer got university credit, right? Whereas they originally would have.
Yeah. Right. Which I couldn't have cared less about. Yeah, it didn't even like, because it was an American program, it didn't give me anything to my Canadian university.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out perfectly. It was way cheaper. There was only 5 of us. It was like chill. It was wonderful.
Yeah. That's, I was very excited for you. There's definitely a lot of feelings on my part. I was still doing long haul at that point. So I was on the road all the time. So it was already kind of a tough time of being away from you. And then like,
sayonara, I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah. It was a mix of like, you know, being like excited for you and like a touch jealous and a touch nervous, like just because of just not knowing what the situation was. Like the whole thing could have been slightly sketchy. And like, we didn't know, like, luckily, you know, you ended up getting some good friends out of the thing, and a connection to like a beautiful place that I've luckily been able to go to one time with you. And but yeah, I mean, it was just, there was a lot of unknowns that first time, and I just was like helpless, you know. I was like, okay, you know, it's awesome, go do it, it sounds great, too good to pass up. But like, you know, it was lots going through my brain, especially because you didn't really have a lot of internet access or anything when you were there. So it was like very scattered dispatches from you. And
they had like just gotten electricity, the little town. And it's so crazy, just like the leaps that were made from the first time I was there till the last time I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty still just small, very rural. Small little town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like them like having to wait for like the produce order to come, like going to the grocery store, and it was like not a lot of produce left on one of those visits, and it was like a little bit of brown lettuce and, you know, I think we were having a lot of like just mashed avocados. That was like a pretty big meal we were having. And then our clam chowder, because we went diving for clams.
Oh, right. See, and I just feel like you were robbed. I mean, it was wonderful to go, but like you were so...
This part of the narrative is always a tough part too. It's like I've been 3 times and the time you came was the worst one.
It's just because it was the time of it was the season. Like it was springtime. And the other times that I went were in the middle of the summer. And it's just the fact of the biodiversity that is there. I mean, year round, but especially in the middle of the summer. It's just incredible. But I mean, we could only make it. It's not easy to get to this place. I mean, you have to fly to either Arizona or San Diego. Then it's like a 12-hour drive down some horribly sketchy, terrifying roads to get to this little tiny town.
Yeah, like we left from Phoenix, so it was an even longer drive. Because the other 2 times you left from San Diego, which cuts like probably 8 hours or so off the total.
We did it over 2 days, right? Like we stayed in that hotel that one night.
I think it was 2 days. Yeah. Well, it definitely wasn't in 1 day, but I feel like, it was two like full days. So like we got in late. Like,
yeah. So there's just a couple of things where it's like, I was just so glad that you got to be there. But like, it was like... 80%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't get to see like dozens of dolphins swimming under the boat or a fin whale feet from me, but you know, I'll accept what I got. It was nice nonetheless.
So I hope that she just has some experiences that take her. I mean, it'll be so, like, I think now being a parent about the stuff that I did and like the places that I went to be like, oh goodness, like just thinking of her. Like, see you, Mom. I'm going to Central America for, I don't know, like 2 months. It's like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Like, wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And also, I hope that she's able to do it at different parts, like different times in her life. I noticed that, you know, like the first time that I went traveling when I was 20 over to Israel and Egypt was so, you know, compared to then when I went to Central America and I was... 23, 24, one of the two. Just my take on things just a couple years later, being a little bit more mature. And then all of that again to when I went to Mexico, you know, like as you get a bit older and I just appreciated things that much more. And I became that much more confident in myself and just the growth that happened. It was very different. So it's neat to be able to recognize that looking back, how your life experiences and your age sort of play into like your appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a bit less traveling than you have, but I mean, I still, when I was 18, left to go to Italy to go backpacking. And like, I was not like an exceptionally wild kid, you know, like I think like I still have like a book of like email exchanges I had with my dad that he printed out. And it's just funny. Like, I think like how weird the whole thing must've been for my parents, like be like, okay, like he's going off to Italy and it's like, oh, I'm like not even there a week. And it's like, I got a job as a DJ. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, the whole thing was probably very, very strange for them, but they were supportive and like very helpful. My dad especially got really into it. Like, kind of like looking into stuff I might need and like buying me things for the trip and stuff, and like overly prepared. Like, he got me a bunch of like kind of like survival stuff that I didn't need, you know, like I'm going to like Italy. Like, it's, you know, like it's like I'm going into Rome, like a major metropolis, you know, and he's like giving me like survival candles and like lengths of rope and stuff like that.
But you never know.
Yeah.
I guess
he was preparing me for a plane crash or something.
Oh, yeah.
But huge. Like, I don't think at the time the stuff I thought I was getting out of it was the stuff that I did get out of it too. You know, like you realize afterwards like how doing that influenced you or changed you and opens you up. And I'd be terrified for Lou to do that. Yeah. But knowing how beneficial it was for me, I think I would have to support it.
I think that's all. That's the best thing that you can do, though, is support and be excited with them and just to be there. I mean, I think that, that's sort of a common thread through parenting, no matter what, right? It's just be there, be supportive, be excited for these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And be terrified.
One thing I was thinking about, sort of along those lines and going back to the band thing, was I remember, because it was my friend Dave and I were the ones who like first came up with the idea to do this. We played football together, and we had both seen, like in junior high, two of our first concerts ever were Kiss and Marilyn Manson.
Together?
Well, they were separate shows, but like they were...
I know, but you and him went together?
We went to Marilyn Manson together. Kiss, we went separately, but we're both there. Right. And I think we just like... We got such a kick out of the theatricality.
Yeah.
The big over-the-top, you know, putting on makeup and all that kind of thing. And so we just... Neither of us knew how to play an instrument, but we would make on the computer like fake album covers, complete with like all fake song names for songs that hadn't been written and everything, and come up with like fake like stage names for ourselves and all this stuff. And so we're like, we're going to do it. We're going to start a band. So then I remember after a football game, we were getting on the bus and he's like, they're hiring at Telespectrum downtown, like a telemarketing place, because we're going to need money to buy instruments and stuff. So, and we were 14 years old, and we're like, I was like, okay. Like, I remember telling my mom, she's like, you're not going to do telemarketing. Like, and I was like, yeah, like, we're just going to do it. And like, this wasn't even like, she didn't really let her have a say in it. Like, I'm just like, we're going to go do it. We're going to go have an interview. And so we did that, got hired. And then like, next thing I know, I'm like a 14-year-old, like signing up Americans for higher interest credit cards and NRA memberships. And we were just like, walking around downtown. Like, it was all, I just feel like we were just always on our own and like, we're going to do our thing. Like, just like a slightly older version of the Peanuts gang. Like it was just like what the parents said, like, wah, 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 like, didn't matter. Like, we were just always like, had this singular vision, and it was like, okay, we got to find people who can play, 'cause we can't really. And, I can't remember what I was getting at with that. Oh, I guess just talking about the, like, yeah, like the point of like breaking off from your parents and like how, you know, at the time you don't really think much about it, but like, it's a gift to like be given the space to do that, and how hard it must be knowing that now with a kid.
Yeah. It's a balancing act of, you know, being, just being available, but not being overbearing, but also not being like underbearing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The parent who wants too bad to be the cool parent.
Or that like I just think, like, I can only speak to my childhood. I just feel sometimes that because, you know, everybody knows like your upbringing influences how you parent a lot, in good ways and bad ways and fine, you know, ways. But there's, you know, the overbearing parent that just doesn't want, that doesn't want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just is just in there too much, and then that can make the kid resentful and pull away and need their own space. And but then I've also experienced, you know, coming a parent that doesn't want that to sort of almost the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, oh, I kind of sometimes wish you were a little bit stricter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sort of as much as I want to get into that.
Yeah.
But it's a balancing act.
One thing we were talking about last time when we were a little saucier and had margaritas in us was times when we were young, stealing alcohol from parents. You brought that up actually as a possible topic. Do you have specific memories around that?
Yeah, we definitely did that. There's a group of us in, I think it was grade 8. And we would go to our friends, like, rotate our houses at lunch. And we would have little samplings from our parents' liquor cabinets. And I very clearly remember trying Tanqueray gin for the first time, just like, oh, like I thought it just tasted like what weed killer would taste like. It was so awful. And yeah, we would kind of get a little bit drunk and go back to school. And then somehow, I don't know how, we all got busted at school. I'm not sure how long we were doing it for, but we all got in trouble and our parents all had to come in. And my dad he thinks it's funny to talk about the time when his daughter was a drunkard at school. And then we would top up the bottles with water. And then one time, we actually stole an entire carton of cigarettes from my friend's mom. She was like, I'm pretty sure she was the only parent that smoked out of that friend group. And oh boy, she got in trouble. I mean, understandably, it was an entire carton of cigarettes. And we'd go sit in the field by the retention pond and like pretend to smoke. Nobody ever inhaled. I remember inhaling like once.
Was it ever your parents' liquor cabinet?
Yeah. That's who we had the gin.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I feel like my mom often had a pretty good stock of liquor. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't much of that from my parents. My house was not, like, especially once drinking age was reached, was not really like a hangout house. There was definitely like in junior high and high school, just kids who lived closer to the school, if it was going to be like school time doing that. And then just in general, like there was just kind of always somebody home at my house. You know, I lived in such a house full of people that there was bound to be somebody home. So it wasn't really the opportunity for such things didn't come up. I can remember, it probably would have been grade 8, taking stuff from Ryan Unruh's parents' liquor cabinet. And I remember it being like a weird location where it was like above the staircase that went down to his basement. There was like a door that you almost had to like awkwardly like climb up onto the sidewall to like even be able to access it. Like it was almost like a little mini.
Like was that their main thing or was that like an accessory?
No, because I feel like they also had a bar in the basement. I'm trying to remember the layout of Ryan's house that he was living in at that time. But I seem to remember like having to like crawl up into this thing to get it. They must have, because they both were like, you know, like had parties and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't think they would have made it that difficult on themselves. But I think we drank whiskey and apple juice that night. And I remember we like had to be home because it was like pre-cell phones and stuff. And his mom was going to be calling at 10 o'clock, I think it was, or something like that. There was like a specific time that his mom was calling that we had to be home. And at the time I was in like kind of an awkward eighth grade relationship and talking to that person on the phone and her saying that her friend was over and that there was going to be like fireworks at a park near her place and for us to come down to like watch the fireworks. So we got like mildly drunk, mildly like buzzed, you know, like we probably were like not drinking that much because we didn't want to make a huge dent in their liquor supply, but enough to be like grade 8 buzzed. And then so we like biked down to this girl's house and then we're there for like maybe 20 minutes. And then we're like, okay, we got to go. We got to go like be home because his mom's calling. And she was just like, what? Like, I thought you guys were coming to like watch the fireworks. And then we were like, yeah, we like, I just remember us like not having any sense of like what the, like how that worked out time wise. And just being like, yeah, no, we can't. We got to take off. And then we like quickly were like racing home as fast as we could on our bikes, like home bus, because it was like, you know, like she probably lived 15 minutes away and we had like 10 minutes to get back to the house for this phone call from Ryan's mom.
Were you guys all supposed to be, you're sleeping over there that night?
I guess so. Probably. Yeah, I was probably supposed to be sleeping over and they were like at a party or something like that. And yeah, it was like a weird, like Ryan's parents were like pretty cool and like pretty easygoing, but his mom was like a real like call her, like she would really like, if she didn't know where Ryan was ever or something like that, she would like call all his friends' houses and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like I can remember getting like multiple calls from Ryan's mom being like, where's Ryan? I'm like, I don't know.
Did you ever have to cover for him?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't want to like, some of it's more Ryan's story, so it's not really me to say, but there's, he had a sketchy period that I'm sure he'd be pretty open about. In which case, like me and Jamil had to like go hunt him down because we had both received multiple phone calls and we found him in a funny situation and told him to give his mom a fucking call.
I definitely had a lot of parties at my house, a lot. And, my mom would go to MTC a lot. And then I'm trying to think of where my sister would have been. I don't know.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to try like you.
We only have 1:40 left on this car. So we might just have to end this one in a suspenseful way. Because we're running out of time on our card. We only have 1.5 minutes. So, yeah, we can continue on again with other stories one day.
Yeah, we will. This will likely be the end. If we come back, it's because we found some other time to do some more recording like before putting this out. But chances are this will be it. It's a shorter episode. Hopefully this hangs together in some way. I'm going to probably have to do some editing. We experienced like, you know, animal issues and allergy issues and all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. So if you, and plus we both worked all day and, but thanks for listening. If you have questions or anything, you can email us at ReesaChad, that's ReesaChad, 2018, at gmail.com. And the mic is going to go for, you know, we should do like a big drop in price and people will be like, what happened to that episode? We got to listen to it.
It's $75.
Well, otherwise somebody might buy it if we do that. Let's do $300.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for doing this with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we're at our last 8 seconds.
6, 5, 4, 3.
Bye bye.
Good night.